This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Thorns lead by two, and the world is celebrating that.
It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX, and coming up this summer, June 3rd at Energizer Park, where City SC plays their home games. It's a new title. For the field, the U.S. Women's National Team will be back here in St. Louis, and Women's National Team legend Becky Sauerbrunn is with us here on KMOX. Becky, it's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
Oh, doing okay here, and everything in St. Louis, and you know, growing up here, going to Ladue, and all of that. It's such a great soccer town. That, you know, we like to compare ourselves to other cities, and we've got this rivalry with Kansas City, which city is a better soccer city here in America. I just want to start there. I know you grew up here, so of course you're biased to it, as most of us are, but why is soccer such a big deal in St. Louis?
I mean, you got to look at the history of it. There have been games and leagues since the late 1800s through the 1900s. And so for me, just personal experience growing up in St. Louis, the access that I had to the sport, you don't see in a lot of cities in the U.S. I mean, I was going to St. Louis Ambush and Steamer indoor games on the weekends, and I had coaches who had coached at the highest levels. And so I just feel very fortunate that I grew up in St. Louis, because the history of it made it such a wonderful place to like grow into the player that I became.
Yeah. And I grew up in Granite City, just across the river, and it was a big deal mm-hmm. over there too. So really it's an entire region thing.
Oh, it really is. And it's indoor, it's outdoor. You know, you look at the historic 1950s Men World Cup team and how many of those guys were from St. Louis, like half the starting squad. And so, yeah, it's just a really rich history.
So, as I mentioned, the women's national team will be here June 3rd. You are going to be honored before the game, you know, right back here in your hometown as the women's national team will play against China. What does this mean to you? What does it mean to you to have this honor coming your way?
Yeah, so I thought when I initially retired, I did it after the season. It was kind of a quiet, like, hey, thanks for everything, I'm out of here. Because I was actually kind of trying to avoid a little bit of the spotlight. And then I got a call from our press officer on the national team. And he was like, Becky, there's a game in St. Louis in June. We'd love to honor you before the match. What do you think? And it was just, it's just too perfect of an opportunity to pass up, because, you know, it's pretty rare as an athlete on the national team to even get to play at your hometown. And I've been very fortunate that for my 200th cap celebration, I got to play in St. Louis in 2023. And then to be honored for my retirement you know, later this year in June. It just seemed too perfect. And so I'm really glad that it's happening. And to be able to do it in front of my, you know, friends and family, in front of the city that like just helped make me, seems just perfect.
How's that ticket request thing going? Are you getting a lot of those?
Yeah.
And what are you telling people? And how are you managing it?
Yeah, I'm hoping that U.S. Soccer, because, you know, they're the one that they're honoring me, that they'll help me with these tickets. But I think I can cover my family. I just don't know about all the friends and everyone that's texting me. So hopefully they will all buy their own tickets, because I would feel very bad if they were relying on me.
I'll tell you what, it's a tough conversation to have with people like, hey, I'm sorry, you didn't make the cut. You're going to have to buy your own.
It's like a wedding invitation.
That's right. If somebody drops out, maybe we'll get you in. That's the way you could do it. It's such a great honor, and to be able to do it, you know, here in your hometown with that beautiful soccer stadium. And as you mentioned, it's, you know, you've been there before, but can you really think of anything better to have happened?
No, honestly. That's why I couldn't pass up the opportunity. The fact that it was in St. Louis at Energizer Park, you know, in June, it just worked out too perfectly for me to pass it up. And I feel very honored that they even want to honor me, and just to be able to do it. It's really a celebration for not me, but for the people who got me on this journey and who supported me throughout this journey. And so to be able to do that and, you know, get to celebrate my family and the coaches in St. Louis who made me. So it's really about the people who got me to this point.
Becky Sauerbrunn is with us here on KMOX. And, you know, you're talking about your retirement. And for an athlete, that is a very difficult thing to decision to ultimately come to, because it's a thing that you've done your entire life. And so it's hard to just say, okay, I'm finished now. How difficult was that for you? And how did you come to the realization? And then, you know, then eventually make that transition?
It was difficult. I think if 2023 had gone better for me, I had a loss in my family and I missed out on the World Cup because of an injury. That wasn't the way that I wanted to say goodbye to the game. And so the 2024 season, I got to play with the national team one last time at the W Gold Cup, and we got to hoist a trophy. And then I got to play a full season with the Portland Thorns and really felt like I was a soccer player and I could say goodbye to the game that I wanted to say goodbye in that way. And so it felt like I still had something left in the tank, which I'm like, well, should I just play until the wheels fall off? And I wasn't sure that's how I wanted to say goodbye either. And so I left a little bit in the tank. And from what I've heard from a lot of recently retired players is that's how you want to say goodbye. You still want a little bit left. You know, you want to leave the party at the height of the party. You want to leave the game when you still got a little bit left in the tank. So so the decision, it was tough, and I'm still coming to peace with the decision, but I do think it was the right time.
Yeah. It's just for an athlete in particular, it's really tough to make that call because of you think about the amount of work you've put in over the course of your entire life to even get to the point where you can play so many games for a national team. And you did. You played a ton of games for the women's national team. So as you look back on all of those, you have the Olympic appearances, the World Cup games that you were in, how well do you remember the first one of those? And when you look back on that, do you have any really, vivid memories of it? And if you do, what are the things that you think about when you think about that very first game where you're on a big stage like that?
Oh, yeah. I can think of 2011 World Cup in Germany. I had just made the squad. I was kind of like a last-second addition. I wasn't expected to play at all. I was just kind of a support person there in case. And there was a red card.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of our center backs got a red card in the match before. And I was like, surely they're not going to play me. They'll figure out a way to finagle the back line so they don't start me. And the coach brought me in, was like, yeah, you're going to be starting in the semifinal of a World Cup against France. And that, I mean, I remember that so distinctly because I was craving so much to be on the field and to play because this was my dream. I mean, you know, every young soccer player's dream is to play at a World Cup to represent your country. And here I was, like, not expected to play, and all of a sudden I'm starting in a semifinal. And I remember telling my family and my partner, and I think they were more nervous than I was, to be honest. But the game went really, really well. And I remember leaving the field thinking, like, that was the moment where I realized that I could do this. And I think every athlete kind of needs that moment where they just start to believe in themselves a little bit more. And that was that moment for me where I was like, I can do this. I can play at this stage.
Becky Sauerbrunn is with us on KMOX. And, you know, the you have those moments. And then coming back to St. Louis, do you remember coming back home for the first time after you played in that game? And what was it like when that happened?
It was great. I mean, it was just kind of, you just go back to your hometown and you hang out with your family and they're like, yeah, that was cool. Like, we're really proud of you, but everything just kind of goes back to normal, which is how it should be. Of course, you know, I've got club coaches. I played for JB Marine Soccer Club for a really long time. And so of course they want to honor you, and you go out and you see some of the younger players and you just try to be a good role model and everything. And yeah, it's funny because you work so hard, you reach these heights, and then you kind of are at the top of that mountain and you're looking and you're like, okay, what's the next one? And that's, I think, what's so amazing about this women's national team is that one is never enough. You know, you get a gold medal at the London Olympics and you're like, all right, well, I guess we should win the World Cup in 2015. And so it's just this ongoing thing, and it becomes almost just like a natural feeling.
Yeah. And the next chapter for a lot of people who played and are good at articulating the sport like you are is to, you know, become a broadcaster, to become an analyst. When did you decide you wanted to do that, and how did that come about? Because you will be part of the TNT broadcast. It's also going to be on Max, I believe. You can watch it. So this women's national team game June 3rd against China, you'll be on and part of that broadcast. So how did you decide you wanted to do that?
I had a producer who in the soccer world has kind of been in my ear for a few years, just saying like, hey, are you interested in doing TV? We would love to have you on. And I was always kind of hemming and hawing, being like, you know, I just want to just focus on playing soccer, you know, maybe when I retire. And then pretty much like the hour after I announced my retirement, he had called me and said, hey, what do you think about it now? And so I was like, yeah, let's give it a shot. And so I was really fortunate that I got to join the TNT broadcast crew for the most recent She Believes tournament. So I got to do 3 games and just kind of learn the ropes and really, really enjoyed it. I also had a great team around me, which makes such a difference. And then I also have been doing a podcast with 2 of my teammates, Sam Lewis and Lynn Biondolo, last year and into this year. And so I've been kind of kind of dipping my fingers in some of the broadcasting stuff, and I've realized that I do really enjoy it. I think it's really important to tell these athletes' stories, and it's a responsibility that I take very seriously. I want to do it very authentically and really do these players justice, and so I'm enjoying it. It is weighty. It is a difficult thing because you want to do it well. So kudos to you and everyone else that does this. But I do find it very enjoyable, and so I hope to continue to do it.
If you ever listen to this show, it's it could be a whole lot better, Becky. It could be way better than it is. But it's a different skill set, you know. And to be able to do this and play the sport at a high level, that's really difficult to do, to have both of those. So actually, good on you for it.
Well, yeah, I don't think I would have been able to do it at the same time. So I'm glad I waited until I retired. But yeah, it's a whole new world.
So the women's national team, it has, over the years, it gets a lot of interest. And women's soccer has been a big deal here in the country for a long time. How has the sport, especially from the women's side, how has it grown, or how have you seen it grown since your playing days?
Oh, I mean, when I think about when I first started playing on the national team, so my first cap appearance was in 2008, and we would play a home match, a domestic game, and maybe get, I don't know, 7,500 people at the game. The stadium wouldn't be full. We probably weren't playing in the same stadiums we're at now. Sometimes we'd be at a college stadium or a smaller training stadium. And now you look at games and they're usually sold out. We're playing in beautiful soccer-specific stadiums, if not football stadiums, so that we can have higher attendance. I think about our fight for pay equality, how when this program first started, these women were fighting for a livable wage, let alone, you know, equal pay. And that's where we are now. And it's unbelievable how much the game has grown domestically. And then you look globally, and a lot of federations and a lot of countries have made a lot of strides, but there are still some who have refused to invest in their women's sides. And it's a real tragedy, because I think we are proof that if you invest, you will get a return of that investment. And the rest of the world, we're really hoping we can push along so that they can catch up.
You know, that's really what I was going to ask you, is how much more is there to grow? How much room for there is it?
There's so much room to grow globally. I mean, there are federations where the women's teams are fighting for the wages that were owed to them from a World Cup that happened in 23 in 2019. And there's just so much that still needs to be done. So many countries that don't even have women's sides so there's a lot of work to be done. And luckily there are, you know, player unions that are starting to hold federations accountable, and I'm hoping FIFA will continue to hold countries responsible. So there's a lot of work still to be done.
Well, Becky Sauerbrunn, we know that work is going to continue. We are looking forward to having you back here in St. Louis June 3rd as the women's national team will play against China. Becky will be honored prior to the game, and then will be on the TV call on the TNT broadcast, part of the analyst team there, as the women will play against China. It's going to be great to have you back in St. Louis, and maybe if you get here soon enough, come in studio and see us. We'd love to have you on again.
Oh, thank you so much.
That is Becky Sauerbrunn with us here on the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.